I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We bring you a special barbershop today, live from Las Vegas. We're here at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, and as you know, the guys in the barbershop dish every week about the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week for a shape-up are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, television correspondent Charles Robinson, The New York Times' Marcus Mabry stuck around from this morning, and National Association of Black Journalists President Brian Monroe joins us on the phone. I hear the guys want to talk about the NABJ's decision to give BET a thumbs down for its programming, Barry Bonds' history-making home run, and the shootings of four young people this week in Newark, New Jersey. I may jump in once or twice, but before I pass the mic to Jimmy as usual, Jimmy, I have to dog you. You had the nerve to come to my panel yesterday and argue with the premise of my question. We may not be speaking after this, but we'll see how it goes. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Thanks so much, Michelle. Yo, fellas, welcome to the shop live from Vegas. What's up?
Can I get my shoes shine? That's what I want to know.
Man, that's not on the agenda, but yo, let's deal right off the top of the deck. Speaking on NABJ giving BET the thumbs down award for the channel's lack of news and abundance of much junk food entertainment. Now, Brian, obviously NABJ doesn't have cable or they've been asleep at the wheel. Why are you just dissing BET now?
Well, you know, we based Thumbs Down Award on the actions of during a calendar year, and we focused on the year 2006,
right.
The past year, and the part of the focus was that BET chose not to air the Coretta Scott King funeral when all of their colleagues, all the other cable stations did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we understand that BET is a network that was founded on the E in BET, entertainment.
Right.
But at the same time, we also know that particularly in the black community, they have a responsibility to make sure they uphold the news and community affairs programming requirements that our culture needs. And,
that
specific move was an abdication of that, and more, and in general, the overall programming of the network throughout its recent history, and certainly in the last year or so, canceling its news programs, giving short shrift to community affairs, was again an abdication of that responsibility as a broadcaster.
I see. And they've been doing so well up until now. Yo, C. Rob, how do you feel about that?
Let me say that I used to work at BET when they actually did news. I don't have a problem with this, but understand that BET is trying to, you know, make it in a world where, you know, the least common denominator. I mean,
right.
when you say Flavor Flav and everybody knows who he is and the Flavor of Love girls,
right?
You know, we racing to the bottom, man. We're not racing to the top.
I don't know about that. Yo, Marky Mark, I know you got BET.
I got BET. I got all like three or four BETs.
I know you do. Look at you.
But it's true. I think Brian is absolutely right. I say amen to NABJ for doing this. We have to speak truth to each other. Who else will we speak it to? It's true that entertainment is the second thing in BET, but black is number one. And so Coretta Scott King should have been on there. We have to blame ourselves, however, for watching this dreck as well as BET for not making it work.
You know what?
Right. You know, that's one of the real issues is that our community doesn't support the news programming and the important program that we need. And so you're right. It comes back to us. It's on us.
Well, listen, Brian, here's what I think. You know what? BET is in the entertainment business, not in the business of uplifting the race. It's junk food TV, and I know that going in. And you know what? That's okay with me, bro. Let's move on to the next subject. Yo, Barry Bonds just broke the home run record, but kids will never look at their baseball heels the same. Now, see, Rob, should the history books make note of his alleged steroid use?
Look, the bottom line is you better have good eye and coordination if you want to hit a home run.
Right.
And if you don't have it, guess what? You can't hit them.
Right.
And if you can't hit them, you can't get in the record books.
But the dope doesn't hurt, right?
No, the dope is dumb.
Right, the dope's dumb.
The dope is dumb. But the bottom line is, look, his name is going to be on the history book. But guess what? Wait till my boy A-Rod get in the mix, and guess what? That record's going to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Well, you know, I think this beat-up on Barry time has just gotten old and tired. You know, are there issues that he's got to deal with? Absolutely. But he has broke the world record for home runs, and that is no small feat. And you got to give the brother some props.
I don't know about that. Marky Mark.
A-Rod.
I'm saying big red asterisks in the history books, and that's what it should be.
That's what I think. You know what? I mean, because, I mean, he's changed the game, but not in a good way. I mean, these allegations will follow Bonds through history, and frankly, that's the way it should be.
A-Rod, y'all not listening.
We
A-Rod.
Heard you.
We
heard
wait, you. Wait, hold up, guys. But kick allegations it. Are not the same as confirmation.
Yeah, I hear that, but I don't
well
know.
Put
I mean, look at the brother. Look at the brother. I mean, what is he at Bally's every day, three times a day? Give me a break. You know, I mean, milk does a body good, but come on.
756 home runs. You don't do that by just waking up each morning. Yeah, it's hard work. It's hand-eye coordination. And, you know, whether or not he was on the juice as well, he still did a formidable job breaking this record, and that's
this
something
record's
that's got
gonna
to
get broken again. I don't know why y'all think it's not gonna get broken again.
I hear you, B. Shield. I hear you, Marky, you want to check in one last time?
Yeah, I was gonna ask my man. So, who do you think will break the record?
A-Rod.
So when that happens,
let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Now, police have arrested two suspects in the Newark murders. Of is it three or four college students?
Well, it's a terrible story, but you know, shifting gears for a big minute here, there are four students who were shot. One of them survived.
Right, and there's still more questions than answers. Now, Michelle, we're seeing crimes like this everywhere. Is this the heat, or as a society, have we turned a corner somewhere?
Yeah, I don't know. I think about this all the time. I think all of you have children, too, and this is one of my greatest fears as a parent, is that, you know, my child, these kids, all, by all accounts, were all doing everything they were supposed to be doing with their lives. They were all headed off to college in the fall, and I have to tell you, this is one of my greatest fears, is that my child will be, you know, attacked, you know, for some random nonsense for reasons that having nothing to do with anything that they've chosen to do in their own lives. And I just don't know. I tell you one thing is that I am glad to see that we are paying attention to this. My fear is that we become desensitized to these issues and we don't give them the level of attention we deserve because it just becomes normal. So I don't know what you guys think.
One of the parents last night said on television.
Go ahead, C-Rob.
That it was about the parents and their inability to pass along morals and engage their kids. You know what? That parent was absolutely right. Because if you know, even if you don't have a relationship with who the baby mamas is or the daddies are, somebody's got to step in there and say, you know what? You can't do right and do wrong and think it's okay. You got to do right. We're going to tell you it's okay. You know what? I chastise other people's kids. And people said, why are you doing that?
Yeah, that'll get you in trouble nowadays,
Jack. You in trouble. But guess what? We as a community have got to step up and say, no, that's wrong, son. You can't do that. Young
that's
lady.
That's used to be. That's the way it used to be. That's what the community was. You know, Miss Jones down the street might yell at you more than your mom would.
Yeah, you can't. Miss Jones can't do that anymore. She might end up in the paper.
That's
you know,
right.
That's real talk, Brian. I'm sorry.
I was going to say this is my quick question.
The shooting of these four students.
Go ahead, Brian.
But Michelle's point is absolutely right. That finally, it's getting some attention. But we've had another murder that is not getting attention, and that's the murder of one of our fellow journalists, Chauncey Bailey in Oakland last week, who was shot down allegedly because he was out there doing journalism, doing an investigative piece involving the Black Muslim Bakery in Oakland, and was shot down in front of the Alameda County Courthouse in broad daylight by a guy who made him beg for his life before shooting with a shotgun. Our journalism is in jeopardy when this kind of stuff happens.
Mark, you said you had something to add?
Yeah, I mean, this Newark story hits me home because I'm a poor kid from Trenton.
Right.
A kid from Trenton Ghetto, you know, Newark and Trenton is like sister cities. And education saved my life. And so when we have to change the rules of this society, we have to make this intolerable. We have to take out the people who do this stuff.
And I'm glad that people stepped up and said, look, we're going to find who these killers are. Yeah. And people both in the Chauncey case and in Newark, people said, we are going to find these people no matter what.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what? I think America has become an increasingly violent place. I don't know what we do about it, and I don't know where we start.
Well, actually, that's not accurate, Jimmy. I mean, in fairness to say, I mean, in all politics is local. If this happens in your community, this is a top-line issue. But the level of violence in this country has really actually diminished in the last 15 or 20 years. Yeah, the murder rate in this country has really actually dropped over the last 15 years. And
we
I don't know what
though.
It all means.
It might be upticking.
It is upticking. But briefly, guys, before we go, we only have a couple of minutes left. And I just wanted to, if we could just sort of conclude, and thank you for letting me bust in on the barbershop. You know, I know it's your space.
It's your world,
Michelle. I know it's my world. But there are I wanted to talk about what a conference like this means. I think there are some people who would say, well, gee, why do African-American journalists, Latino journalists, Asian journalists Native American journalists have a reason to get together. And I just wanted to ask, in the couple minutes we have left, just about 3 minutes, what's the purpose of a gathering like this? Marcus, you want to take it?
It's incredibly important. You know, we talk a lot about going back to your roots. That's what we get to do once a year.
Mm-hmm.
We get to come here and replenish ourselves as black journalists, and we need it because it's rough out there.
Mm-hmm.
In all of journalism, we are facing economic challenges that make it harder and harder to do what we do. We may all be, you know, in BET's shoes soon.
Right.
News is getting harder
Yikes.
To make a viable business.
Right.
It's important when we're fighting those struggles, not just on the economic front, but on the racial front. As black journalists, most of us working in white newsrooms,
mm-hmm.
we need to come here to our peeps and get re-energized mm-hmm. to go back out and do the battle for another year.
And this is where we also find out where we need to go. You know, it's not so much about where we've been, but what's the next frontier? You know, this conference has all kinds of workshops of different kinds of media. You know, I've been privileged to do stuff that I've never done before this
mm-hmm.
year, from webinars to talkcasts on internet. I'm going like, oh my God, the world is actually doing what it's supposed to. It changes, and we've got to change with it.
Brian, I want to hear from you on this. You're the outgoing president of the organization.
Well,
what do you think it means? What do you think an organization like this is for?
The organization continues to be critical, especially in this time when we've got consolidation and buyouts and layoffs in the media industry. Most folks don't realize a year ago I was unemployed. The company I worked for, Knight Ridder, evaporated. It got bought up by another company, and after 150 years, we went out of business. And that's yeah. because there wasn't enough of a voice in the newsroom, particularly of journalists of color, standing up and reporting on news and information that's important. You know, I get emails and letters about why isn't there a National Association of White Journalists? And I think the answer to that is there is. It's in the newsrooms every day. It's the newsrooms that we work in. And it's so important that our voices come together at least once a year and make sure.
Well, there are other organizations of journalists in general. There's Sigma Delta Chi. There's the Investigative Reporters and Editors. There are other organizations.
SBJ.
But Jimmy, just very briefly, you only have a minute left now. You're always threatening to quit.
Right. It's true. It's true.
Why is that?
I mean, well, truth to tell,
I just think it's because you can't afford the dues, but that's all I'm saying.
It's something like that, but it's also, you know, I mean, I enjoy the camaraderie and all that kind of stuff, but truth to tell, I come for the free bag, I stay for the T-shirts and the shrimp.
It's good.
All right.
How do we work on that?
All right. I don't know. You have to take that offline. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks again.
Thank you, Eminem.
Jimmy Israel is an opinion writer and blogger. Charles Robinson is a reporter for Maryland Public Television. Marcus Mabry is a reporter for the New York Times and editor for the New York Times. He's also the author of a new biography of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. And Brian Monroe is the president of the National Association of Black Journalists. They join me from member station KNPR in Las Vegas. Brian Monroe is on the phone. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests today at npr.org/tell me more. Gentlemen, thanks again.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right.